And Josh, of course, a lot of the questions around the Raptors are they going to be big enough, really, with the loss of Gasol and Ibaka? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guard-heavy roster. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's sort of been the case over the last few years as well, but more so than ever now that Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol are gone. It's sort of similar to the experiment that the Houston Rockets were trying to throw out there last year. A little bit different in the sense that they were using PJ Tucker at center, whereas the Raptors do have some size with Aaron Baines stepping into that starting lineup, and they'll be happy to have it tonight, not only against Zion Williamson, who OG will probably be the primary defender on, but Steven Adams, a new member of the New Orleans team, and that'll be a great test for Baines out of the gate, a couple really physical centers that know each other pretty well. But outside of that, I mean, Baines, he's at this stage of his career, he's a good veteran player that knows his role. He's going to give the Raptors some good minutes, especially in the matchups like this one tonight where they're going to need him. But you're right, we're going to see a lot of small ball this year. There are some pros and cons to that. I think with Ibaka and Gasol, we almost always saw a traditional center on the floor, a nice luxury to have for Nick Nurse, a couple of really good centers. But at the same time, I do think it limited some of his creativity and the ability to go small, something that we rarely saw last season until obviously the playoffs where they tried it a little bit more. I think we're going to see a lot more funky lineups this year. It's going to allow Nurse to fully embrace his innovative and creative style. And to answer your question, we're going to find out whether or not it works. I think they're confident that it will, if for no other reason than their smaller guys play a lot bigger than they are. They always talk about that with Lowry and VanVleet, a couple point guards who play together. They play a lot bigger than their 6 foot listed height would indicate. And even some of their other guys, Ananobi and Siakam, these are versatile players that can play and guard multiple positions. So more than ever before, they're going to lean on that versatility this year and I think try some new things.
So when you have such a, you know, a guard heavy roster, obviously, you know, 3-point shots are going to be key, but, you know, Pascal Siakam, I think the importance of him and OG Anunoby become even more vital for this team. You know, eventually somebody's got to play inside and it's probably going to fall to those two, you know, I would say the most because I expect them to be on the floor the most. Anunoby just got his 4-year extension. He's a man of few words, it seems like, in the conversations I've had with him. But he, you know, he seems to just kind of be growing slowly. And we saw that crucial shot he made in the playoffs last year, the buzzer beater. And do you think he's ready for a breakout?
A lot of people do. I do as well. I think maybe we temper our expectations a little bit in the sense that, I mean, people are talking about most improved player, making the comparison to the jump that Pascal Siakam took a couple of years ago, or even last year before he took the big step back in the bubble. The difference, obviously, is that Siakam has had a much higher usage rate and is that type of a player over the last couple of years, especially last year with Kawhi gone, where they really look to feed him the ball and to play through him. They have him handling the ball and taking the bulk of the shots in the offense. I mean, he's their number one option. Whereas OG, I mean, even though they've talked about expanding his role this year, and I think they need to, if for no other reason than he's ready for it, he's expanded his skill set and shown that he's capable of doing more than just being a spot-up shooter. I think if you look at it, at least in the starting lineup, I mentioned Aaron Baines. Baines is probably the only guy that he's above in the offensive hierarchy right now. Kyle Lowry and VanVleet obviously have the ball in their hands a ton, and when it comes to shooters, they're going to be the preferred option in the offense most nights. Pascal Siakam is still the number one guy. So OG is still probably fourth on that list, and if and when the Raptors play small with Powell in there for Aaron Baines, Powell might be a preferred offensive option on some nights to OG Anunoby. So I still don't think that we're looking at a guy who's going to completely explode offensively and put up like massive numbers and all of that, but I do think in terms of the skill set, we're definitely, as you mentioned, seeing the progression of the things that he can do. And as I said, I think Nurse really needs to allow the Raptors to utilize those skills offensively a little bit more. If we're talking usage rate, though, and just in terms of the workload, it doesn't get much more significant than what OG is being asked to do on the defensive end. And that's where I really think he takes the next step this year. He was already really good and developing into one of the better perimeter defenders in the league. But he's a guy who, I mean, just about every night is going to be asked to defend the other team's best player, regardless of position, pretty much. I mean, tonight, Nurse has already indicated he's going to be the primary defender on Zion Williamson, who's a rising star at a big man position at the four or the five. Meanwhile, in a couple nights from now, or I guess 3 nights from now, when the Raptors play San Antonio, OG will probably be on DeMar DeRozan, a wing player, and we know that OG spends a lot of time on those guys. But then against teams that have an elite point guard, we probably see OG defending the point guard. So he's a guy that, regardless of position, he's going to be out there working hard defensively, and that's why I say we might not see him carry a massive load on the offensive end. You can understand why they're sort of limiting him in that area, but I do think this is the year we see him take a big step forward in terms of his two-way potential. Obviously, the Raptors feel that way as well, given the contract they just gave him.
Josh Lundberg joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Josh, the main question, not only in Toronto, but I think around the NBA, is an extension to Masai Ujiri. The longer this goes, you know, a lot of people wonder, like, why hasn't he signed? He's a massive, arguably maybe the most important part of that team moving forward when you consider the age of Kyle Lowry. What's new with Masai Ujiri? How come he doesn't have an extension?
Yeah, and right now there's really nowhere left to hide if you're Masai. Up to this point, he's always talked about, okay, well, there are other things to worry about. There are other things to do. But you look at the Raptors' checklist at this point, re-sign Pascal Siakam. They did that 14 months ago. Re-sign Fred VanVleet. They did that last month. OG Anunoby has his extension. In terms of his front office and leadership team, obviously that was a big priority for him as well, as getting those guys rewarded and getting them new contracts. Nick Nurse was taken care of back in the fall. Although we don't have an official announcement yet about Bobby Webster, it sounds like his extension is relatively close, and Masai has indicated that the rest of the front office team has been taken care of as well. So with all of that done, and obviously with the Raptors already getting settled in Tampa, that was a big deal, trying to get the exemption to play in Toronto, and that didn't happen. Switching gears and overseeing the move to Tampa, obviously everything that's gone on over the last several months with the restart and the bubble and all of that, like, those were all things, I guess, that took up Masai's thought space and priority list. But he's always talked about, okay, well, when it's time, then I'll move forward and sit down and evaluate my own future. Well, that time is here, and Raptors fans are anxious, obviously, because as great as it is that they have this promising young trio under contract now for the foreseeable future, the biggest name arguably in the organization right now, I understand Kyle Lowry is the best Raptor player ever, but there's a very real argument to be made that the most important person in the Raptors organization is Masai Ujiri, and with all these big names coming off the board for 2021, no Giannis, no Rudy Gobert, no Paul George, it's looking like Masai Ujiri could be the biggest free agent on the market. Obviously, the Raptors don't want that to happen, so the ball is in Masai's court here. Obviously, if the Raptors could... if MLSC could extend Masai Ujiri right now, they would do it in a heartbeat. It just comes down to when Masai wants to do it. And as for what his reasoning is for why he hasn't done it, or what he could be thinking right now, that remains a mystery.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, to be honest. Who knows? Maybe it's just like a free agent player that he ends up re-signing at the right time. But, if he leaves, I think there'll be a lot of people wondering why. So we always appreciate your time, Josh. Have a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and enjoy the return of the NBA.
All right, Jason. Happy holidays to you as well. Take care.